The old school bell tells us it's time for session number 29 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. I'm Bill Boyd. I consider myself the superintendent of this school because really your teacher is a man named E.A. Elam, who wrote Sunday school lessons to be used in churches many years ago. And we're going to be looking today at a lesson that he wrote for April the 2nd of 1922. And so we're looking at lessons from not quite 100 years ago, but almost. Elam was well respected as a gospel preacher in these areas in his day, but even greater respected as a Bible teacher. And we're fortunate that he wrote these Sunday school lessons. This Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We begin each week with a Sunday morning Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., and an evening worship at 6 p.m. We also have a Wednesday Bible study at 7 in the evening. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. As we look at the lesson this morning, we're actually in the first lesson of the second quarter of the year 1922. This lesson was written for the Sunday of April 2nd, 1922, and it's about King Asa and how he relied on God. It comes from the text in 2 Chronicles chapters 14, verses 1 through 12. And when we're reading 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we're reading two different accounts of two different kingdoms, and it can be so confusing sometimes to keep all this straight. Who is king over what kingdom, and what prophet is going to what kingdom, and such as that. Let me give a little brief introduction to try to help keep this straight. We're talking about the kings that came after David and Solomon. Solomon's son was Rehoboam, and it was only a short time that he ruled over the 12 tribes of Israel, because he wanted to raise the people's taxes and place a heavy burden upon them. And he listened to the counsel of the young men instead of the older men that told him to ease that burden and secure the hearts of the people. Jeroboam rebelled against Rehoboam, and this was really according to God's prophecy that he would do so. And he became king of the northern tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes to the north. Rehoboam continued to serve as king for the south. And then his son, after Rehoboam died, Abijah, his son, became king. And then after Abijah, Asa became king. Asa was king in Jerusalem over those two or three southern tribes, mostly Judah, but also the tribe of Benjamin and a lot of the Levites. Asa was David's great-grandson. And that's the king we're looking at in the lesson today. In the explanatory notes of this lesson, found on page 89 of Elam's notes of 1922, we read about the condition of Judah. Asa was Abijah's son. Abijah had 14 wives and was the father of 22 sons and 16 daughters. In 1 Kings 15, in verse 10, it is said that Asa's mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. But really, she was his grandmother, for she was his father's mother. She is named as the wife whom Rehoboam loved above all his wives. In 2 Chronicles 11, 21 and 22, she is called the daughter of Absalom. In 2 Chronicles 13, in verse 2, she is Micaiah, the daughter of Ural of Gibeah. It is not stated which one of Abijah's wives was the mother of Asa. Both Rehoboam and Abijah were buried in the city of David. Asa reigned in his father's stead, and in his days the land was quiet 10 years. There was no war during these years, 2 Chronicles 14, in verse 6. That was probably from the 5th year to the 15th year of his reign, 2 Chronicles 15:10. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of Jehovah his God. He was reared surrounded by evil influences. with a little good in his father or grandfather. Upon the whole, his father, grandfather, and grandmother were bad, trusting in idols. Idolatry, however abominable, had its allurements. Sin today, however fearful may be its consequences, has its pleasures and fascination. There were good men in the land, prophets mentioned under the head of persons and the Levites. In 1 Kings 15:14 it is said, "But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect with Jehovah all his days." There were two kinds of high places in the land, those used for idolatrous purposes and those that were consecrated to God and were used before the temple was built, according to Adam Clark. These high places were doubtless the ones upon which Jehovah was worshipped. The people may have continued to burn incense on these places in spite of Asa's efforts to persuade them to do the law and the commandment. Jehovah, his God, means that Jehovah and no idol was his God, and that he trusted Jehovah and not idols. Verses 3 through 5 give the reasons for this statement made in verse 2. Foreign altars were altars for the worship of the god of the idols of the heathen nations. The high places were mounds or hills upon which were placed the altars. The pillars were obelisks, as it says in the margin of the King James Version, or images standing by the altars as symbols of the gods. Gideon was commanded to throw down the altar of Baal and to cut down the Asherah that stood by it or upon it. The Asherah, as we noted in the introduction, was connected with Baal worship and was a wooden symbol of any god or goddess such as Ashtaroth, Ashtarite, or Venus. The Asherah were not groves, as the authorized version, but wooden images of Ashtaroth and Ashtari. The margin of Exodus 34:13 says of Asherah, "Probably the wooden symbols of the goddess Asherah." The worship of Ashtaroth or Ashtaroth or Venus was carried on chiefly in groves. Groves were her temples. In groves concentrated to her such obscenities as were committed as rendered her worship infamous. Asa put away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made, and also Micaiah, his mother or grandmother, he removed from being queen. That was the queen mother in the margin, because she had made an abominable image for an Asherah. And Asa cut down her image and burned it at the brook Kidron, 1 Kings 15:12-23. This was an obscene figure and was worshipped doubtless with impure rites. This may have been done after the battle described in this lesson. Number 2, Asa was a reformer. 2 Chronicles 14:4. Asa was a reformer. He not only did right himself, but he commanded Judah to seek Jehovah, the God of their fathers, and not idols, and to do the law and commandments. That which God wrote upon the tables of stone was called the law and commandments, Exodus 24:12, and the covenant of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 34:28, and see also Deuteronomy 4:13. God also commanded Moses to teach statutes and ordinances, Deuteronomy 4:14. Not only did Asa break down these altars and images and remove the high places in Jerusalem, but he did this for all the cities of Judah. These images were probably representations of Baal, the sun god. Thus God commanded the children of Israel, "Ye shall break down their altars, and dash in pieces their pillars, and hew down their Asherim, and burn their graven images with fire." Deuteronomy 7:5, and other such passages. And the kingdom was quiet before him. 1 Chronicles 14:1. During these years of peace, Asa prepared for war. He built 4 to 5 cities in Judah. He made about them walls and towers and gates and bars. He built these cities as a defense against Israel on the north and Egypt on the south. It is probable that he rebuilt the 45 cities of Rehoboam, which Shishak, king of Egypt, had destroyed in 2 Chronicles chapter 11 and 12. Jehovah had given him rest because he and Judah sought God. God gave them rest on every side because they sought him. The way they sought God was to put away all forms of idolatry and obey God's law and commandments, 2 Chronicles 14:4. It is God's law and promise. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever, 1 Chronicles 28:9 and 2 Chronicles 15:1 and 2. So they built and prospered. God blessed them with peace and prosperity. Asa had an army, which he had also prepared out of Judah, that bare bucklers and spears, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000, and all there were 580,000. Bucklers were heavy shields, bucklers and spears were heavy arms, and shields and bows were lighter arms. All these were mighty men of war. At the end of these years of quiet and rest, Zerah the Ethiopian, with 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, came against Asa at Marshaha, the town of Judah, about 25 miles southwest from Jerusalem. Asa, having fortified the cities and raised the army mentioned, doubtless refused to pay tribute to Egypt, and this mighty army invaded his country again to subdue it. But Asa, undaunted, went out to meet Zerah. They met in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. Asa's army was outnumbered 2 to 1. But Asa cried unto Jehovah his God. And when you read his prayer, you see that it was a sincere prayer crying out to God. Indeed, there is none God like God for help. The few, the weak, with God's help, are stronger than the mighty that are opposed to God. Relying on God and in God's name, Asa went against this multitude. It was God's battle. So Asa prayed, "Let not man prevail against thee." Asa had put down all idolatry in the land and was maintaining the true worship of God against the heathen and their false gods. There are various incidences in the Bible where God's people, though few and weak, prevailed over their enemies because they trusted in God. Gideon and Hezekiah are notable cases, as you could read about Hezekiah in his prayer when he trusted in God in Isaiah 37, 14 through 25, and verses 36 through 38. God heard Asa and smote the Ethiopians, and they fled. Asa and his army pursued them into Gera, and there fell of the Ethiopians so many that they could not recover themselves, so that none remained alive. For they were destroyed before Jehovah and before his host. Asa also smote the cities about Gera, and he smote the tents of cattle. That would be the camels and other animals used for carrying the baggage of that vast army, and the sheep and the cattle for food, and carried away the sheep in abundance and camels, and with much spoil. That there was much spoil in all these cities, and he returned to Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 14:13-15. Well, in the next class session, we're going to learn some lessons from this. And I want you to email me or text me if you have a question at wmhboyd.com. That's wmhboyd.com and aol.com. As the old schoolmaster used to say, this class will now be dismissed.